Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. Today's guest is Beth Wellington, who is a marketing manager by day, and for what isn't by day, or in her head and heart, she is a poet and an artist and a jewelry designer. And her gallery is City Art Gallery in San Francisco. And if you care to go there, you can see Beth's work. It's CityArtGallery.org. And I became aware of this because I read in the SF Gate that there was a show there having to do with poetry and love letters as the art. So I hustled myself over and met Beth. And here she is to talk about herself and love letters and her art.
Oh, great. Thank you, Janet.
Tell about yourself. And okay. Why don't you just start with where you're from and what your family was like. And
Briefly
about you.
Do you mind if I just circle back to the gallery just for a minute?
No, please do.
So I just want to let everyone know, City Art Gallery is actually an artist cooperative, and it's a collection of about 110 active artists. And they have shows every month, actually. At the first Friday of the month is an opening from 7 to 10. Everyone's invited to come down. So the show was one that I participated in with a variety of other artists. So I wanted to honor their work
as
well.
Okay, thank you, of course.
And the show that I participated in was called Love Letters Written and Unwritten. And I have been doing some street poetry. I have a manual typewriter. I go out and I type on the street, and a lot of people that I know have heard about this, and they'd start giving me a word and I'd type up a poem for them, and it's done very impromptu and kind of on the spot. So the curator of this show actually asked me if I would do an installation to bring this
poetry. That's how they found you? Because you
I'd already been a member of the gallery as a jeweler,
okay.
And they knew that I was doing the street poetry, and I'd actually done street poetry outside the gallery before. And so the way it works is someone gives you a word or a topic and you write something, and oftentimes people will give you words around love and, you know, relationships. So the curator asked me to do a window installation compiling a variety of poems. So I hung about 60 poems on ribbons in the front window. And it was really wonderful to see how people engaged with the installation. And there were people who would come and, like, take pictures of it and poise with it. And it was really kind of a surprise to me. I just sort of did it with kind of an idea of bringing people into the gallery.
By the way, not a surprise to me.
Oh, well, thank you.
Because when people find expression somehow of how they feel, and it's not so easy to do today. It's not so much in the air. I want to ask you what kind of personality it takes to get out there on the street and offer yourself with a typewriter. I mean, uninhibited is understatement, right?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I have some fear with it. Yeah, well, not initially. I've gotten over that. But my initial thought was, oh, no, how am I going to do this? And a wonderful man that I know, his name is Orlando, and he said to me, he goes, Beth, you can always ask for time. And I said, what? And I thought I had to come up with, like, this little flash of brilliance and type it out really fast. And he said, just tell them, give me a minute and I'll have a poem for you in several minutes.
So I want to say something about that. That's even nicer. Because what I talk about a lot in writing love letters, which we are talking about, is that they're not just knocked right out of your head. They take planning. And I feel like the perfectly wonderful love letter is a result of passion and planning.
Yes.
And it really honors the subject.
And what I also found was talking to people a little bit about who they were and kind of the intention behind the word that they gave me also helped me, because, you know, you have some hits and some misses in along the way when you do this.
Sure.
And, you know, like one woman asked me to write a poem, Bear. And I said, well, is that B-E-A-R or B-A-R-E? And then I found out she was really asking it to be a love letter for her boyfriend. It was her nickname for her partner.
Oh, nice that you asked, of course.
So,
yes.
Those were the things that really helped me kind of be a little more comfortable putting myself out, you know, for like a creative moment with and interacting with people as I did this. So, and then there were a variety of poems that came out of that. And then with the theme of the show being love letters written and unwritten, I actually added to the collection from the street poetry part to think about what would be a love letter that I had not written.
For yourself personally.
For myself personally.
Yes.
And that's two of the ones that I brought today with, you know, like the thing that I wish I had said.
Okay, that's really an important thing, because I say to people in the workshops that I do, and just anyone I can get to listen to me, that gratitude and love taken to the grave serves nobody.
Right, right.
Why not share it and make somebody else's life richer, not to mention that you get to sit there and bathe in the positive.
Right.
About something.
And part of it is just, you know, the innocence of youth or, you know, the trepidation is, when I read one of these, you'll see it was, two of them were around being kind of younger and being afraid about it, you know, putting yourself.
Well, do you want to read it first and then talk about the surrounding relationship or say something about that? Or do you want to say something first and then read it?
I don't even know. Why don't I read it and see where we land from there?
That's good because you've got it right there. Go ahead.
So the first one I'll read is called Dear John. Dear John, sometimes I wonder what would have been if a reply to your email I did send. I was younger and oh so scared. You held my heart but did not know how fragile it was and what could be lost. Instead, I protected it and wrapped it up safe. And here I am, and it's too late to find out if we were ideal mates.
That is so tragic.
Oh, I know.
That is really... So what happened with that?
So what happened is John and I dated for, on and off for a while. We met at work, and he is a wonderful person, and we lived in different cities.
Oh, that's hard. Yes.
And it was just very difficult. And I think, you know, because we lived in different places, you know, making that step to move up and say, okay, I'm here, and the pressure and everything. And I remember getting an email from him and just feeling like, I don't see how this is going to have a future. I don't know what there's going to be here. And I think the part where I was saying, you know, being young and kind of, you know, fearful and, you know, do I move and give up my job and do all
that? That's
a
big issue.
Yeah. And I think for me, I should have been a little bit more able to talk about
it. Okay. So if you, knowing what you know now, were that age then, which is always cheating, what would you have done?
I think I would have definitely talked to him about my fears and my concerns. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish I had and, you know, so.
Okay.
Anyway.
So may I have that for just a minute? Because
sure.
I want to refer to one thing that really struck me. If a reply to your email I did send, and I protected it and wrapped up safe. I protected it and wrapped
it up safe.
It up safe.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big issue and something that when you write a love letter, now an email is different.
Right.
Because in email, you're begging for a...
But you should know, John and I actually used to send snail mail to each other, too.
Okay.
We would send, like, wonderful long letters to each other. And I would actually... I did my own Japanese paper marbling, and I would line the envelopes with these, like, handmade
gorgeous.
Papers.
Okay.
And, you know, just really wonderful.
Okay, so that brings me to another point. You know, people talk about the lost art of love letters, writing love letters. It isn't lost at all.
No, I don't think so.
It's just in the hands of fewer people, and you can see what it actually is an art, the way you're describing yours.
Well, and I also think that in many respects, they weren't necessarily what I think he and I would call love letters, but they were ways that we stayed in touch and communicated. And I picked really kind of fun papers and just...
But that's all part of the message.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's part of the love message.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not
just a letter of what I did at camp last summer.
Right, exactly. You know, the weather's great. Wish you were here.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Right.
But you'll see a theme. I mean, you know, because I tend to, in my past, have been a little bit more sheltered or, you know, holding myself a little bit more privately.
Well, the thing about a love letter, as opposed to an email, which is more like a conversation, and people expect a response. And if you send an email to somebody, you don't get a response, you think you're in the spam box. It's just not as clear a way of communicating in that regard. If you send something in a letter, you can be braver, I think, because you're not there when the person reads it. You're not
true.
Getting an immediate response. But I had a wonderful experience with a woman who sent a love letter to somebody she was crazy about in high school. 30 years later, he's divorced, he's available, and she wants to invite him to come to another city to spend 3 days with her. It was a 3-day weekend. And she wrote kind of a sexy, inviting, cute letter. And he came to visit.
Wow.
Yes, and after a day and a half, he went home.
Okay, well, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
And I said to her, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. She said, "It's okay," she said. "I said what I wanted to." He was terrified by the depth of my feeling for him, and he couldn't handle it, and he left.
Right, right.
You know, 6 months later, he called her, and they've been married for 10 years. He just had to absorb what she felt.
Oh, that's actually a wonderful story.
Isn't that? And
realized, I thought it was tragic.
No, and realized, you never know, do you?
No, that's true.
Realized that the depth of what she felt was exactly what he needed. In a conversation, it would have been terrifying.
Right, right. But he answered her initial
yes
communication, yeah, which is wonderful.
So you never know where these things go. Would you tell us another one?
Sure. Let's see. So the next one, again, you'll see a little bit of a theme. This is a different man that I was involved with here and there. "I should have said I love you. I was so afraid. In retrospect, I'm not sure why. Did I think you'd make me cry? Instead of keeping what I had, I lost what could have been. It's too late now, I know, to let my feelings show. I'll say it now without remorse, even though I'm not on course. I love you, even now and always."
That's wonderful. Now, this is one of the unwritten you didn't send?
This is one of the ones that I did not send, and this is a man that I have always regretted that I did not tell
him. Do you know where he is?
I do, yeah. He's in California.
I'm asking because, little Miss Busybody here.
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
Well, I'm asking because there's something really lovely about getting a letter from someone where that was the relationship, even years later, to say something, you know, something, what I got out of the way I felt about you was so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to thank you for having been in my life at some point.
Yeah, he's a wonderful person. I really...
Would that be unwelcome, do you think, to him? Or I think it never is.
You think it's never unwelcome or
mm-hmm.
welcome?
I think it's never unwelcome.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what his circumstances are. I don't know where he is in his life at this point. It's kind of nice that I've been able to say it here on the show, that mm-hmm. I can say I love you, and, you know, he may never even hear it, so, but
right.
at least...
But that's somehow the magic...
At least I can say it now, and it's unfortunate that I was not able to say it then.
But you still feel fondly.
Oh, very much so. I mean, I love you even now and mm-hmm. always is certainly very true. I mean, I think this is a man who was very significant in my life.
Ah, okay, there you go. In what way?
Well, I met him in college, mm-hmm. and again, you know, very much, you know, young, exploratory time in my life, and I never felt judged by him, and I always felt very, I don't even know how to articulate it even now.
Well, it's when you figure it out, there's your love letter. What a nice thing to get.
Yeah, possibly.
You know, I'm so familiar with, and maybe you've had this happen also at some stage in life when high school and college is really behind you,
mm-hmm.
and you run into somebody who says, with the comfort of many, many years, and mm-hmm. Says, "Oh, I was just crazy about you in college." And I don't know why the response isn't usually, "Well, you should have spoken up." You know, all these unsaid things.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of like those fears and things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had an opportunity after my father died. So my father died quite a few years ago now, and I remember when that happened, it was very life-changing. It was in many ways unexpected, and he was young, and I didn't really realize that I was going to lose him, and I really felt that I'd wanted to have had a chance to talk to my father further than I had.
Yes.
But on a positive note, there the week that my father died, he had come over to my home for dinner, and I had told him I loved him at that dinner. So within a week of my father passing, I had told him I loved him.
Yes.
But at that point, it was kind of a turning point for me, and it took a while. I don't want to imply that it just happened overnight with that instance, but it was sort of taking a look at life and saying, you know, we got one shot at it.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I do need to embrace it and be a
yes.
little more open and be willing to say, I love
you. And you're such a friendly, beautiful, outgoing, I mean, if you know,
you.
Somebody who sits on the street and writes love poems for people. And who wouldn't want to hear from you or know that you felt affection?
Oh, well, yeah.
I think you're never, tell me what you think, because I think you're never the worse for having offered love and friendship. Whether or not it works out, you've done your part.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. At this point in my life, I can't say I regret anything in my past in the sense that it shaped who I am as the person I am today. But I like to hope that I've learned from that, and then any future interactions or engagements that'll be there to be at least a little bit more open.
I've gotten letters from people from long ago, a couple of them, and they were just, they were just stunning. I mean, they were just heart lifting.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think people really want to know, the gift is that you remembered.
Yes.
The gift is that you paid attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think receiving that gift is just huge. Oh, I hope you do it. Okay. What's your next poem?
Okay. Then I thought, you know, the third poem I brought was sort of spinning it from the past, maybe these mistakes that I'd made or the regret or whatever. I thought I'd do something kind of playful and fun. And this is actually titled Oops.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Oops. Sexting, texting, little messages for you. A coup, a whisper, and a wish. Swoosh to you in a techno flash. I better be careful when I hit send. Otherwise, I may need to defend if my message ends in a different conversation than I intend.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's not my mother, I should be fine. Most friends would laugh and be aligned. They know love's urgent need, especially sending a text with speed.
That is very cute. So do you text? I mean, let's talk about email and texting.
Okay, I do definitely text. I have to be honest, I really shy away from sexting just because I think I'm very hypersensitive about how there is no privacy on a phone or the internet.
And you don't know where it's going to end up.
Exactly.
Any good hacker, no?
Who knows? I mean, I don't even, you know, that's not my bandwidth, but, or wheelhouse, but but again, it was sort of an output of the preparation for this theme show at the gallery was, you know, like, what would be the thing where you'd be like, oops, you know, or the thing that you would
think
about?
Well, there's a lot of oops with email, by the way, which is a really good point because there's no oops with a letter.
Right.
Because you can read it. You should probably do a draft and look at it and see if what you really want to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to that point, it's funny. Somebody showed me a cartoon and it was really comical because it was this woman talking to somebody and saying, we figured it out. It took us a while, but we found the thing that's hacker-proof, the communication tool that is you can't hack it.
Uh-huh.
And you go downstairs into the depths and in the basement or whatever it was, there's a guy with a manual typewriter.
Right.
And I started laughing.
Or a fountain pen or a ballpoint.
Yeah, or a fountain pen or whatever. And I laughed because, you know, in a way, I have this typewriter. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn how to type on it.
Was that... when you learned to type, when you decided to do this? Or?
Oh, no, I've been typing for years. I learned how to type on an electric typewriter. I'll totally date myself.
Okay.
But a manual typewriter really requires some finger force to hammer out, truly, a poem. And I am a five-finger touch typist by day.
Mm-hmm.
And on the manual typewriter.
Oh, because it's so easy because you need barely a touch.
Now have been turned into more like a six finger typist because my pinky fingers are too weak to do the outer.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, it's
because
really
I learned on a manual.
Oh, well.
Talk about dating yourself. And it was natural. But I want to talk about that for a minute because I'm always going on about handwriting, and it has to be handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, when you send something that you have written, you've probably held it to your lips or your chest, you know, held it to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Your hand has been all over it as you're writing.
Yeah.
So somebody gets that, and they're touching something that's felt the touch of your hand.
Yes.
It's like holding hands across time and distance.
Yes, but
it's
my
like
handwriting
a caress.
Is horrible.
And I'm glad you said that also, because it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's yours.
And actually, you know, it's interesting.
And everyone has Lucida Bright in Chicago and Helvetica.
Yeah.
No one has yours.
Right.
Well, bad is it?
Okay, so I did a road trip across the United States and traveled internationally. I had gotten laid off from a position and had the freedom of travel. And I drove across the United States. I did 20 states in a month to get across to the Jersey Shore of all places. So I spent a week on the Jersey Shore.
Mm-hmm.
And I had written a lot of people in my network and said, hey, if you want to get information from me while I'm on the road, send me your email. And if you want snail mail, postcards from the road, give me your
yes.
postal address. And about 35 people gave me their physical addresses.
You bet.
And I sent each one of those people over a 6-month period, I think, an average of 3 or 4 postcards each.
Heroic.
So you figured times 35, I wrote a lot of postcards. And I had a lot of fun doing it, but I'd have people call me and say, I can't read what you wrote.
Perfect. Perfect. They can't read what you wrote, so they called, and then they deepened the relationship and the communication.
Yeah, but
there's
still,
no way.
But they still loved getting the postcard.
And they still, but I'm just saying, even the fact that they couldn't read something, it meant a follow-up phone call.
Yeah. And
it meant more connection.
I would try so hard to write legibly, and it, but it was a lot of fun. I sent a lot of postcards from Greece. I spent a month on an island in Greece. And
But they could read most of it?
Most of it they could read, yeah.
Now, if you have, I want to send this advice out there, because if you have a physical disability like a paralysis or a palsy that makes it really impossible to hold a pen, and I just want to cite the movie My Left Foot.
Right.
You can do something that has indicated you have touched that thing physically.
Well, I mean, think how incredible that is. I mean, talking about a movie that speaks volumes.
A story.
A man. I mean, it's really about a person. I mean, this man just created.
It's really about a mother.
True. Yes.
I just want to say that.
A family dynamic.
Yes,
right?
That's right.
I mean, she could have pushed as much as she wanted. And,
well, that's true. But I think sometimes the way you push, you encourage instead. That's a whole other story.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can always, but I got a letter recently from somebody whose handwriting was really difficult. I wouldn't say it was awful. It was kind of, about half of it was illegible.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I got through it and it was his. And then I noticed that he had stapled something to it. On the back, he had stapled a typewritten
version of it. I think that's brilliant.
That's the exact word I use. I wrote back to him and I said, just brilliant. I'm going to advise that.
Okay. Maybe I'll just handwrite and then do the little running theme underneath.
Or if you think somebody really can't read it. But you know something? When that person's 90 and maybe vision is not as good, that typewritten copy will come in real handy. Mm-hmm. Nice big font.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many ways to just stay. Okay. You have one more. Don't you?
Oh, I do. It was actually in the folder that I didn't actually initially plan on bringing, but this was actually a poem. It's not necessarily a love letter, but it is something that somebody asked me. They gave me, actually, you know what, as I'm looking at this poem and thinking about it a little bit differently, this is actually perfect because it talks about how I became a poet with a typewriter.
Okay, good. And by the way, I want to talk to you after you read it about, you said this isn't really a love letter. Let's talk about what is a love letter.
Okay, fair enough. So, I had a relationship that ended last May, and I had gone down to my sister's place in Santa Barbara, and the farmer's market is held on Sundays, and we went, and there was a man there with a box, a cardboard box, and on it was propped a manual typewriter and a sign that said, your topic, your price, you know, poems.
Mm-hmm.
So, I looked at my sister. I just had moved all my things out of an apartment the day before. I had just was feeling emotionally kind of destroyed in many respects.
Sure.
And I gave this man the word possibilities. And I thought, this will be interesting. I could use a poem that's given the word possibilities.
And this was before you started doing it?
This is what actually got me doing
that's
it.
That's what I wondered. Okay.
So he said, give me a few minutes. Ironically, exactly what my friend Orlando had said. And he said, give me a few minutes. I'm working on another poem. We said, we'll shop the market. We'll come back. And we get back and he hands me a 1/4 sheet of a 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper titled Turtle Shell.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, for possibilities? And his reply was, oh, I don't like to title anything as obvious as the word given. And we read this incredibly random poem about a witch with purple and pink and blue hair persecuted by villagers and, you know, who never died. Anyway, so we hand him $6. And it got my sister and I talking. And we thought this was amazing. Now, you should know, I've been a writer well before this. I've written 3 novels.
I am so on the verge of tears. I can see. Go ahead.
Okay, so, and I've written a children's book. And, you know, so writing has been natural for me. It wasn't that it was that I just suddenly had this strike of genius from, anyway. So I told a friend of mine about this, and he thought it was wonderful, and he started texting me a word every morning while, I was down at my sister's, and he would send me the word, and I would just write a poem on the spot and send it to him, and the idea was, impromptu, don't think about it too much, and just send it.
But he opened up possibilities.
He did. And
for you.
I mean,
it was right on target. And he got you and your sister talking about something new. It's another possibility.
Yes. And so then I thought,
this.
Well, you know, this poet, and unfortunately I don't know his name, and I looked for him since then when I've been down to see my sister, and I couldn't find him. And my sister has the poem somewhere in her home. I should have kept it. But anyway.
You can get a copy though, right?
I'm sure she would not have thrown it away.
Okay.
But anyway, so I thought, well, I should write possibilities. If I gave this word to him, I should write possibilities.
Good.
So this is what this poem is. Possibilities hide in the corner wearing rose-colored glasses. Can you get a glimpse of the world that can be? Options as far as the eye can see. Play the best hand with the cards dealt. Just be sure it's heartfelt. Cast aside your dark shades, the view is dreary and will fade. Take a page from the same book, rose-colored glasses provide a better look. Pick a route without a doubt, it won't take long before you're hooked on the path you took.
Now, that is kind of a letter to yourself.
It is, of course.
Yes. And who better, at least certainly on the list, of people to get love letters from you than you.
I hadn't really thought about it that way, but okay.
Why not?
I mean,
your own encouragement. And by the way, I'm so touched that you said the word possibilities, which I think meant you wanted some more of them for yourself. And didn't he just give them to you? Look what it all led to.
Yes. And I mean, in a way, it's been really fun. And I mean, the words and the poems that I've written for other people have just been, in many ways, very inspirational for me, too. I mean,
oh, that's a big part of love letters, by the way.
Yes.
Yes.
And you know, I think about it and
what the writer gets out of it.
Yeah. I mean, and I have so much fun with it. Mm. And I always feel, you know, I've had a couple duds. I have to be honest. You know, the one woman gave me single mom, and I wrote a poem, but I do not have children.
Mm.
And I don't know what it's like to raise a child on your own. And I kind of tried to guess, but I just couldn't put myself in that position.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other word I could not write was inspire. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's so ironic.
Because it's so hackneyed, you mean? Or?
Well, I'm like, are you inspiring? Am
mm-hmm.
I being inspired? And I just, it just didn't resonate. And I think, you know, maybe it's because the person who gave me that word started to tell me why they like that word.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, you know, it's sort of like, wait.
Getting in your way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I find is the poems, for the most part, kind of just present themselves in my head. A woman on the street gave me love, sacredness, and velvet.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember writing something along the lines of, love is hidden in the shadows of velvet night. And I mean, that just came out of those words. So I kind of try to let the word guide me, but it doesn't always work.
So I think anything can be a love letter. I mean, some of these things, there's a difference between something written in a loving spirit,
right?
Including that what I did at camp last summer. Every letter is great to get.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we just sometimes need to be aware of the difference between a love letter and something written in a loving spirit. And I think a love letter has more of the other person woven into it.
Yes, because I think it is about the two of you. The first two poems that I read.
Either the two of you or just the other person, like the man that you're going to write to and say.
I guess I'm going to be writing the letter. I did not know that. Anyway,
and when you do, will you let me know how it works out?
If I do go down that path, I will let you know.
Thank you. God, what were you going to?
I think I lost my thought with
that. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Out of your head. But
no. But you're right.
Talk about possibilities.
Yeah, there are possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
But no, to your point, I mean, with all these communications, I think it does resonate on both sides, whether it's a communication that you're sending about how you're feeling and your
mm-hmm.
needs and
mm-hmm.
your wants and your desires. But it's putting it out to that person to see how it fits with their thoughts. And,
there's an implied,
you know, their wants and desires. Yeah. So
many ways. And I think ultimately putting your truth to paper in a loving, compassionate way
mm-hmm.
really counts.
Mm-hmm. Very much counts.
Oh, I want to thank you for doing this with me. This is just
Janet, thank you so
such
much.
Such a fun conversation.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed hearing what you've written and possibilities. I mean, I think that is just the name of the whole game.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, that just was such a pertinent word for that moment in my life, and I think it kind of continues to resonate
with me. I was going to say, for every moment all the time, possibilities.
Very much so, and I think that's the key.
Well, thank you, dear. This is wonderful.
Thank you.
And I just want to say, in the theme of possibilities, because what doesn't reflect that, that if you think you need to wait for a special moment to write a love letter, that writing a love letter is a special moment, mm-hmm. and you've made quite a sideline of those special moments.
Oh, thank
you. I'm happy to see that. Thank you. Well, until next time, this is Janet Gallen and
Beth Wellington
saying goodbye.